Okay, Chevra, shalom aleichem. I hope that you can see me and hear me. Unfortunately, I sort of lost track of time a minute ago, so we're a couple of minutes late. But I want to continue our discussion over here in Yerideya, Simen Kuf Yud Daled. The Mechaber tells us that oil, liquids, vinegar, beer, vinegar, etc., you're not allowed to purchase them if these liquids, if they are more expensive than wine. We are worried in those situations that the merchant will add wine to the vinegar, and when the merchant adds wine to the vinegar or the like, so it's going to become usser. It's going to become usser. This concern is either if it's financial, if the merchant will add some wine to save money, or if the, as the Shach notes in Eis Vav, if the merchant is going to add some wine because it somehow enhances the flavor or it enhances the smell or the like, all those cases is going to be usser. However, the Rama tells us that if there is shishim levatlo, it's okay. If you have 60 times of the beer connected the wine that goes in, so in that situation, it's mutter, says the Rama. In other words, according to the Rama, stam yenom that is mixed into beer, is mixed into whatever you want to call it, all of these mashkim, yen tapuchim, yen yimayinim, all the things I mentioned in the Gemara on Dav Lamed Beis, all these things are going to be mutter if it is batal b'shishim adkan divrei haramor. Comes on the Taz, and the Taz and Ois Dalid jumps up and down, and he spits wood and nickels. And the Taz says, 1 second, why do you need bitul b'shishim? We pass in Simen Kuf Lamed Daled that yayin is bitul b'sheish. Right? If you have a situation of stam yenom, so in Kuf Lamed Daled, if hey, it says that you can often dilute wines. You know, the Kedem factory tells you how much you dilute a wine. And it still remains a bar priagofen. They used to have these ads like in the Jewish Action, etc., about how much the wine can be diluted. It says in Kuf Lamed Daled Siv Hei that if you have kam yehe b'mayim and it can be mevata the yayin, all you need is shisha chalokim. You only need 1 out of 6 to be mevata. So comes on the Taz, and the Taz says, well, if yayin is bottle in mayim, 1 out of 6, hu hadin in sha'ar mashkim, because by sha'ar mashkim, it should be more mevatel the tam than yayin is. Meaning that water doesn't really have any flavor. Since water doesn't have any flavor, it can't really be mevatel the yayin. However, sha'ar mashkim, if you have a situation where you have other liquids, like in our case, yin tapuchim, yin mimayinim, sheikhar, and there's just some wine that's added to it, so then it's going to for sure be batul b'sheish. The Beis Yosef quote from the Mordechai, that's batul b'sheishim, says the Taz, that's the Mordechai l'shitaso, because the Mordechai holds that yayin is batul b'sheishim even in mayim. But since we paskin simen kuf lamed daled that yayin in mayim is batul b'sheish, says the Taz, there is no distinction between yayin and mayim and yayin in anything else, so therefore it is really batul b'sheish. Comes along the Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef, and the Shach disagrees. The Shach writes, loy kasha midi. The Shach says the kasha that the Taz is asking is not a correct kasha. It's not a good kasha, says the Shachan and Kudas HaKesef. By Mayim, you need Shisha. But by Sha'ar Mashkim, you need Shishim. And that's what the Isra Heter says. In other words, the Taz asked the kasha from the Din and Kufla Medala that Yain is bottled by Mayim. Answers the Shach that there's a distinction between Yain and Mayim and Yain in Sha'ar Mashkim. Now, Ladina, right? This is a very important question. Is Yayin Batul B'Sheish in Sha'ar Mashkim? Or is Yayin Batul B'Shishim in Sha'ar Mashkim? According to the Taz, it's Batul B'Sheish. According to the Pashtus of the Shach, it's Batul B'Shishim. Lahalacha, the Ba'er Hetiv quotes both opinions in Se'if Katin Zayin, but in Se'if Katin Yud, he quotes that we pass in like the Taz, that it's Batul B'Sheish. Right, that's a big kula. The Gra, however, in Os Yud Zayin, the Gra seems to paskin that Yayin is batal b'shishim in Sha'ar Mashkim, like the Ramah and like the Pashtus in the Shach. Now, this issue was actually part of a very known what Rabbi Bleich calls in his article, Contemporary Halachic Problems, the whiskey brouhaha, right? This became a very big issue. There is a radio program called Headlines. David Lichtenstein has this radio program called Headlines, and he published books after his radio program came out. The Headlines radio program begins always with like a news story. The news story, as reported in the New York Times on June 4th of 2013, was that they have like a big thing called Whiskey Fest. And one year they decided to have Whiskey Fest on Saturday, and the Orthodox Jews could not go to the Whiskey Fest. So then they had their own kosher whiskey fest or Jewish whiskey fest on a different day. It wasn't on a Saturday, so the Orthodox Jews could go. Orthodox Jews like whiskey. They like whiskey for various reasons. It could be it's just the taste, but also historically, there's a reason why Orthodox Jews like whiskey. Because if you're an Orthodox Jew, drinking wine was very halachically problematic. But the assumption is that drinking whiskey is going to be okay. What could be bad in whiskey? You have barley, you have some hops, right? Nishta zoi geferlach, right? Wine has real kashrus issues. But whiskey, the assumption is that it was fine. The thing is, and this issue already was brought up in 1947 by Rabbi Pinchas Teitz, Zichron Levracha. They investigated and they found many of the whiskeys have some wine that's added to them. And the wine that was added to many of these whiskeys is around 2.5% of wine. Bitul B'Shishem is going to be, it has to be less than 1.67%. But Rabbi Teitz found that they add wine to the whiskey in many cases, and it could be they add up to 2.5%. So therefore, Rabbi Teitz tried to come up with his own whiskey under Hashgacha. Reb Moshe Feinstein is unbelievable. These tshuvas are in Igros Moshe, Chelek Yerideya, Volume 1, number Samach Beis through Samach Daled. Rav Moshe writes, you know what? I hold it's not necessary. I hold that the whiskey, even if it's 2.5% of wine in it, that's still less than 1 to 6. So therefore, it's going to be kosher, like the Taz says. I hold it's mutter, but you should try to make a brand of whiskey that has no chash iser at all. And therefore, I support your hashgacha, Rabbi Teitz. It's a gevaldika thing that you'll have whiskey under supervision. Years later, Rabbi Teitz was not talking about this issue. Rabbi Teitz was talking about the issue of mixing wine into the whiskey itself. Years later, they found out that many whiskeys are aged in sherry casks. There are different types of wine. One particular type of wine that comes from Spain, from the Jerez region of Spain, is called sherry. And they would transport the wine in these big casks from Spain, and they came to Scotland. And in Scotland, in order to save money, they would age whiskey in these casks. And later on, they found out that, you know what, these sherry casks are taka a gevaldike zach, because the sherry casks add something to the whiskey, something to the scotch. Now, no one knows exactly what the sherry casks add to the scotch. Do they add a flavor? Right? Scotch aficionados will tell you that they do. Most human beings feel that the sherry does not add any flavor. Does it add color? Well, maybe. Maybe it makes the color a slightly more amber-like color rather than the more yellow that would be with just regular whiskey. But be it as it may, the scotch is aged in sherry casks. And the question is it mutter? Because of, do I assume that the yayin is going to be bottled in the scotch? Now, the pashtus, according to the Taz, it's going to be bottled. Because the Taz says all you need is echad mishesh to be bottled. But according to the Shach and the Ramah, that you need b'shishim, it's not going to be bottled. That's Bepashtus. It happens that the Chicago Kollel, a number of years ago, there is a Rabbi Akiva Nyehaus in the Chicago Kollel, and he put out a small pamphlet called Sherry Casks. It's a very catchy title, no? So Rabbi Nyehaus published this pamphlet called Sherry Casks, and he, based on a calculation of the barrels, shows that it could be it's not even bottle b'sheish, which would mean it's not even going to be bottle according to the Taz. Now, this issue became a very big issue. There are different types of scotches. There are scotches that are not aged in a sherry cask at all. There's also different types of whiskey. Bourbon is never aged in wine casks. Scotch is. Sometimes the scotch is sherry finished. That means that after the scotch is aged, they put it into a sherry cask for another period of time, 6 months to 2 years. Other scotches are just aged in a sherry cask. Some of these scotches, or many scotches, are comprised of a variety of scotches, which is that some of them are aged in sherry casks, others aren't, and they mix it all together. Sometimes the better scotches will have like 50 different blends that are all together in the same scotch, 50 different blends. The Chicago Kollel, based on their calculation that you don't even have bittul b'sheish, they assume that all scotch in sherry casks, if it's a pure scotch in sherry casks, it is going to be usser. But if it is blended, so then it is going to be mutter l'chol hapachos, according to the Taz, because then it's going to be batal b'sheish. That's the conclusion of the Chicago Kollel. Now, Reb Moshe Feinstein in this Chuvan Simon Samach Beis, goes to town. Reb Moshe writes that you're assuming that according to the Shach, it's Batul B'Shishim. He says, yeah, the Shach says on the Nekudas HaKesef over here, just to answer Kasha, to answer the Taz's Kasha. But Ladina, there's a different Shach. Ladina, the Magen Avraham, quotes a Shach LaHalacha, that it's going to be Batul B'Shish, not by Shishim. Then Reb Moshe quotes a comment that's found in both the Matei Yehonasan and the Rebbe Yonson Eibshitz, and the Piskei Tshuva over here in Os, the Piskei Tshuva over here in Os Beis quotes this idea as well, that it could be, maybe it's going to be batal in a situation that the liquid makes the wine taste worse. But in a situation where it ends up tasting better, maybe it's not bottle. That's what Rebbe Reb Yonason Eibshitz said. Reb Moshe Feinstein writes, that's not possible because people add water to their scotch all the time. And they do that because they want it to taste better. And therefore, if Moshe says, now how can you tell me that water, when it's mixed with wine, is for sure bottle b'sheish, right, based on this cheshbon, the Piskei Tshuva, that takes, it tastes worse, hachush machish, we see that it actually tastes better. Now, I don't understand that point of Reb Moshe, because my understanding is the reason why people add water to wine is because they want less alcohol. Itaka tastes worse, right? But they are willing to accept the worst taste in order to have less alcohol. So I don't understand that point of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe then has like a complicated cheshbon where he says that according to the Shach, maybe there's a difference between alcoholic beverages and other beverages, that when wine is added to alcoholic beverages, it's batul b'sheish. When wine is added to non-alcoholic beverages, it's taka batul b'shishim. That's the cheshbon that Rav Moshe has. But Ladina, Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that it's really batul b'sheish. Rav Moshe says, I try not to drink the scotch. Again, he's not talking about sherry casks. He's talking about just scotch that has wine added to it. I try not to drink it because there are many reasons to be machmir, because yayin l'chayres and iser hana'ah, like it says in Siman Kuf Chaf Gimel, unless it's like a Shas HaDechak or the like. So therefore, Yisuri Hano'ah, maybe we're more Machmir on than Yisuri Achila. So Reb Moshe says, I myself don't drink the blended scotch, unless I'm at a meal and everyone is making a L'chaim, and I try to take a little bit of a drink, Hanohug, to give people brachis over a cup of scotch to say L'chaim, then I'll just take a tiny bit. Right, so it's kind of hard to understand exactly what Rav Moshe is saying. Ladina, what's the story with scotch that's aged in sherry casks? So in the Headlines radio program, David Lichtenstein likes doing his own research. So David Lichtenstein's research, I have to admit, I was interviewed on the Headlines program on this issue, because I'd given some shiurim on the topic. And David Lichtenstein really surprised me when he pulled out these numbers. Right? He basically took a whole bunch of scotches and he did a scientific test as to whether, as to how much grape is in the wine, how much grape is in the whiskey. He found that Glenmorangie, aged for 12 years, has 0.06%. The Balvenie, right, aged 17 years, has less than 0.01%, etc. So he tainas that science is indicative that there is no grape in the, or there is a, such an insignificant amount of grape in the scotch that it for sure is mutter. That was his taina. So he interviewed me. I argued basically what Rav Moshe says, that it's mutter me'ikar hadin, but a baal nefesh should be machmir. And maybe I felt that there's other reasons to be machmir, even though it might not contribute flavor. But we pask in l'cha'ayra, the chazusa is milsehi. At least we're choshesh for the din of chazusa milsa. That we saw in the, that we actually saw in the Be'er Hagra, in Simen Kuf Yud Beis Se'if Vav, when they're talking about the egg on top of the challah. So the Goyin writes in Ois Yudalid that the issue depends on whether Chazusa Milsehi or Chazusa Lav Milsa. So the halacha of the Goyin is passing Chazusa Milsa. It's Machlek Yashachan Taz or Shachan Minchas Yaakov in regular Yerideya, whether we pass the Chazusa Milsa. So I felt that although Me'ikar Hadin, we assume the Chazusa is only Milsa by Yisurei Hana'ah, but there are strong reasons why even why a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir on the Scotch. That was my argument. Again, you could read what I said. He transcribed me accurately. It's in volume 2 of Headlines, page 453. Rabbi Eli Gersten, who is the fellow in the OU who mamish knows everything. So Rabbi Gersten pointed out when they interviewed him after they interviewed me that the wine that is in the casks is not ordinary wine. Ordinary wines can never come to an alcohol percentage of more than 12%. If you are in the winemaking business, I don't know if any of you are vintners, but if you're in the winemaking business, so you can't get wine more than 12%. But there's this thing called fortified wine, which is that they increase the alcohol content of it. Sherry ends up being around 22, 24% alcohol. He quotes from the Darkei Tshuva, another poskim, that maybe the din of yayin being batel b'sheish, etc., is only true on regular wines, but these fortified wines, like the sherry, is not going to be batel b'sheish. It will certainly have to be batel b'sheishim. In terms of batel b'sheishim, you're not going to have it in our casks. That's the pashtus. So based on this, Eli Gersten pointed out, the OU's policy is, the OU does not give hashgacha on scotch that is aged in sherry casks. Now, there are many svaras lahakim. It could be that the din of kavosh is only b'leia kedei klipa. It's not b'leia b'kulay. If it's only b'leia kedei klipa, you will have shishin kenegdo. There are many svaras lahakim, but the OU won't give hashgacha on scotch that's aged in sherry casks precisely because a baal nefesh should be machmir. This is something very similar to what we were talking about yesterday. Like, do you have a halachic principle based on the baal nefesh? Right, that's what we spoke about in Se'if Aleph and Se'if Beis with those various rashbas. The OU's policy is based on, since about me'ikar adin, it's okay. But since a baal nefesh should be machmir, that's why the OU does not give hashgacha on scotch that's aged in sherry casks. This happens to be like one of the big topics in Judaism. I was in a community, more of a Hasidic community, and they have like a kiddush that's like a knockout kiddush, and they offered me some scotch. I tend to not be, right, even though Rav Moshe himself would be machmir in general, but would be mekel to make a l'chaim, but I'm not comfortable even making a l'chaim on scotch that's aged in a sherry cask, etc., because Rav Moshe was talking at a time that people didn't know of the issue. Today that people know of the issue, so I think on some level it's like a pirtza to even do what Rav Moshe did, to even just make a l'chaim. So again, so what I wanted to speak about over here is this machlokes shach and taz, the pashtus, the machlokes shach and taz, whether it's batel b'sheish or b'shishim, certainly machlokes ramah and taz, And Moshe tries to reinterpret the shach, etc. That was the first issue that we wanted to discuss. It seems like Paul has a comment.
Yeah. If the whole my understanding, the principle of Bottle of Shishim is as assumed then Shishim no longer gives a tom. If the Skas actually gives a tom, how can you say Bottle of Shishim?
So that's a great kasha. In other words, if it gives a tom, it can't be Bottle of Shishim. So here's the thing. In Yerideya, there's a distinction between something that gives tam and something that's avida l'taima. Something that's avida l'taima, which we paskin is only melach and tavon, it's only salt and spices, that's not going to be bottled even more than shishim. But something that gives tam, but it is not avida l'taima, so then it could be its bottle. The shaila over here with the scotch and the sherry casks is, why the heck are they putting scotch and sherry casks? Originally, it was just a financial thing. Why do they do it now? Is it because it adds flavor? Does it just add color? Is it, as Rabbi Bleich writes in his article titled "The Brisky Brew," the Whiskey Brew, haha, maybe the whole thing is a shtus and a davar kuzav. It is lying to us. It doesn't do anything. So this whole conversation is predicated on the fact that either it doesn't do anything, or what it does is just a tiny amount of ordinary time that's going to be batol paches mishishim or paches mishesh. That's this whole conversation. No one is really assuming that it is avida l'taima, certainly not in the sense of tavlin and melach. Did that answer your question?
Okay, yeah. To me, all this stays the same. I'm even.
Yes, so I have mamish no havana in this at all. I have to admit that when I was in college at one point, my father said that he wants to teach me how to drink a little bit, and I have no taste for it. Like I'm mamish. I don't get it either. People do like this stuff. It's an important conversation just in the sense of things that people like to talk about is important. It's important to that extent. Okay, so again, it's really kedai to read those tshuvas in Igros Moshe. Ramosha is a powerhouse. Ramosha Mamish takes the shach, he turns it upside down, he'll argue and all that. Ramosha's Mamish a powerhouse in this entire sugya. I don't know. The Cheshvan, the Chicago Kollel, that's not Bottle B'Sheish even, I think is a powerful mathematical calculation, although my math skills were not really, I was trusting this Akiva Niehaus when he did the math. I don't know exactly how to calculate the volume of a cylinder on my own. I'd have to look in the formulas, but okay, what can we do? That's the first issue. Now, it says in the Gemara that if the goy is selling some of these items, so then you have to be concerned that he'll add wine to it. But if the goy has a barrel of stuff on his own, so there's no concern that he's going to add wine to it. The wine will not last for a long time if it's in a barrel. The stuff that he does in his store, the assumption is that the turnover rate is relatively quickly. But the stuff that he has at home, if he takes one of these mashkim out from the barrel he has at home, so the Gemara says that this is heter gomor, and that's on the Gemara in Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara also says, and this is paskined in the Rambah, that the yoyre, even if the barrel that the goy is keeping the yain tapuchim or the like in, even if they put some shuman chazir on it, it's not a problem for two reasons. A, it's batel b'shishim. B, it's nosein, tam, lefgam, etc. So these are all the dinim that are quoted over here in Simen Kuf Yud Daled. So if Dalid, again, the most important halacha I'd say for this is the halacha relating to the scotch and sherry casks. The din in halacha hay is also very interesting and relevant to halacha. The Ran quotes that there's a principle of umen leimara umenose, in the sense of if they are selling yain rimonim, they're selling pomegranate juice for purposes of refuah. So in that situation, since they're selling it for purposes of refuah, if they would add wine to it, it wouldn't work well for refuah. So b'kahai gavna, even though you would save money by adding wine, but umen leimara umnase, and therefore it's going to be mutter to buy yain rimonim for refuah. The Rama adds, b'chein kol davar shekonim min ha'umen delo mara nafshe is permitted. So we have a principle of umen leimara umnase, and these things are permitted. Because the uman, and in this case it's not, I should say it more precisely, it's not an uman in the mechaber. The mechaber is talking about a tagar. The mechaber is talking about a merchant. A merchant doesn't want to lose his money. A professional, an uman, doesn't want to lose his reputation. The mechaber is talking about a merchant. The Rama is talking about a professional. But in both cases, you don't have to be worried, because leimara nafshe, you're not going to mess yourself over. The Gra writes that the makar of this din is a gemara in Menachos and Daf Mem Gimel. Right, the Gra in Os Tesvav says, "Dekevon de isbe kepeda leimara nafshe kemosh kasev in Menachos Mem Gimel Mer Aleph." Menachos Mem Gimel Mer Aleph writes that if you have a guy who is selling a talis mitzuyeses, right? You're not supposed to give a talis with tzitzis to a guy, for one of two reasons, the Gemara says. There's a concern that maybe the guy is going to go to some zona and give the talis with tzitzis to the zona as payment for her services, and that's going to make some Jew somewhere look bad. There's also a concern that maybe the guy is going to wear the talis with tzitzis and take a walk with you out in the field and stab you and kill you. At that time, that was a concern with the goyim that they had. So you're not supposed to sell a talis with tzitzis to a goy. But if the goy has a talis with tzitzis, and the goy tells you that it's kosher at tzitzis, you're allowed to buy the talis with tzitzis from the goy. That's the din. Comes along the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham says, you know what? Maybe this is true only about buying a talis with tzitzis from the guy. But to buy the tzitzis strings themselves, you're not allowed to do that. That's what the Pesach Chuv over here quotes, the Magen Avraham and Simen Chof Sif Katan Aleph. That's what the Magen Avraham writes. By the way, all you have to do is just to follow the directions on the page, you know? Just follow the directions. So the Magen Avraham writes, there's a difference between buying a talis with tzitzis and buying the tzitzis themselves. Buying a talis with tzitzis is exceedingly unlikely that there's any problem. Who puts tzitzis on the talis? So in that situation, combined with the fact that umen leimara umnase, we're going to be megal. But if you're just buying regular strings from the guy, and then the guy is telling you that these strings are tzitzis strings, in the sense of they had shazira lishma, tevia lishma is necessary according to some of the Mishnah, you have to spin the thread lishma, etc. So then you can't trust the guy. We only apply the rule of uman leimara umnase in a situation that the umnis is something that's shayach for goyim also. In our case, we're selling yin vimonim for refuah purposes. That's something that both Jews and goyim need the medicine. If they would add wine to it, it would hurt the bottom line. It would hurt the bottom line of the merchant because goyim won't buy from him. So the kahai gavna, umen leimarim, nasei tagar leimarim, nasei, etc. But if it's something that's only relevant to Yidden, so then I'm not going to apply the rule of Loi Mara Umnose, says the Magen Avraham. The Note of Yehuda, in a tshuva in Simin Ayin Beis of Arachayim, Adurit in Yod Simin Ayin Beis of Arachayim. Again, this is quoted in the Chelkas Binyamin on page 120 in the Beit Urim. And then Yehuda says, no, the rule of Uman, Leimara Umnase, is Shayach both to Jews and to Goyim. The Chelkas Binyamin continues that maybe this is the Pshat in the Machlekes Mechaber and Ramah, no? The Mechaber says, Lomar and Afshay. Then the Ramah writes, V'chein Kol Davar. What's the Ramah being Mosef on the Mechaber? So he has a few suggestions. It could be that the Ramah is being Mosif, that there's a din of Lomara Nafshe, even on stuff that's not Lerefua. It could be that the Ramah is being Mosif, that there is not like that the rule of Mara Nafshe applies even when selling it to Jews, not only something that is for Goyim. And it could be that the Ramah is being Mosif, that it's true even by Doiraisas. Those are the three possibilities that the Chelkas Binyamin has here on page 120. But because Rama'asa, the Ramah is adding something with respect to this din of Leimara Nafshe. It could be the Mechaber only talks about Tagar, the Ramah adds any Uman. It could be that the Ramah is adding that Shayach for Jews, not only when something is shy for Goyim, it could be he's adding the din of the Doiraisa. As opposed to the Mechaber, maybe, who's only talking about a Taruvus of Yayin, of Stam Yeinom is Drabonon. Now, this issue, we spoke about some of the aspects of this when we're learning Bishul Akum, the famous Sugya of tuna fish, no? I pointed out that one of my brothers-in-law will only eat dugim, tuna fish. Most people that I know, the OU gives hashgacha on regular tuna fish, bumblebee tuna fish, whatever it is. Rav Schechter in his Sefer Ginas Egos on page 60 and following, Rav Schechter has a whole essay about the kashrus of tuna fish. And one of the subsections in that essay is the discussion of Umin Leimara Umnase. You see, what happens, what some of the people are worried about, if you buy dugim tuna fish, you have a mashkiach on the boat. And you have a mashkiach on the boat because you want to make sure that all the fish that are fished, I don't know how you say that properly, but all the fish that they catch in the net, all those fish are tuna. Sometimes you have another fish that gets mixed into it. And if the goy is on the boat and they first skin the fish before you get it, you have no way of knowing that it was a kosher fish. So maybe it's going to be treif because there's some other fish that's mixed in. And the advantage of dugim tuna fish, and the reason why dugim tuna fish costs more than other tuna fishes, is because they have a mashkiach on the boat. Rav Schechter in his Shtikl Torah says, whoa, 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 the fisherman on the boat is an umen. He's a professional. His job is to make sure that all of the fish that he brings up are all of the same type. Even within tuna, we spoke about that there are three different species of tuna. There's albacore, yellowfin, and skipjack. There are different amounts of cooking times that are necessary to prepare each of these fish. The umen on the boat is a za umen that he is going to identify the difference between albacore and skipjack, etc. So kol shekein, he is not going to allow some other species of fish, a dolphin or the like. I think that's what they're worried about, no? What about dolphins coming up in the tuna nets? So the umen will be trusted. And umen leimara umnase is a reason that helps even on the da'iraisa it's going to be okay. That's Rav Schechter's shtickle taira about umin lomarim nasi. And then he has like a shtickle taira in lomdis that umin lomarim nasi is not a din of namonis. Goyim don't have namonis anyway. Rather, it's a ruba de lesek hamon, and it's not because they're worried that they're going to be caught by the government to be fined. No, even if you know that they're not going to be fined, the Shan Umin Lomarim Nase is that we know for sure this is not a dolphin, etc. Now, what I don't understand, again, my Rebbe has the Shtikl Torah, the Oyugas Hashgacha on tuna fish, but today many of the cans of tuna fish talk are right, dolphin safe. No? Why are they doing that? If Rav Schechter is correct that they never find dolphin, why are they saying dolphin safe? So I was bothered by this kasha until a couple minutes ago. Then I realized that maybe what they mean by dolphin safe is that the nets don't catch a dolphin. Of course, the tuna, right, if they catch a dolphin, the net might catch a dolphin in theory, but they're never going to mix the dolphin in with the tuna that's prepared on the boat and then makes it to your bumblebee can. They're never going to do that. Right, so dolphin safe means that the net never chaps a dolphin. But it's a davar pashut, according to Rav Schechter, that even if the net would catch a dolphin, nonetheless, it's going to be kosher because the umin leimara umnase will not allow the dolphin to come to market. That's Rav Schechter's cheshbin. The umin leimara umnase helps even under eraisos. According to what we're saying, it's possible, at least according to the Chelkas Binyamin, it's shayich that this is the machlokas mechaber and ramah, that the mechaber maybe is only saying umin leimara umnase on dinim derabonan, and maybe the ramah's being mosef for dinim d'oraisa, and maybe that's the reason why Sfaradim should be machmir on tuna fish more than Ashkenazim. But anyway, we pointed out that Sfaradim should be more machmir on tuna fish than the Ashkenazim in terms of the shaila of whether meushan is considered mevushal, etc., whether cooking in steam is considered cooking, the hashlachas kisim idea, the Ashkenazim are mekel on and Sfaradim are machmir on. These are all reasons to be mekel on the bishul akum of tuna, but for Sfaradim to be machmir, and it could be that based on the chazak of umin leimara umnase, also there's a reason why Sfaradim should be machmir, Ashkenazim can be mekel. That's another issue that comes up. Questions, comments, observations on tuna? Okay, so today so far we spoke about scotch and tuna. These dinim seem to be very minor dinim, but when you recognize the practical ramifications, so then it's actually very important.
Actually, yes. since I went to YU, because based on Dr. Tindler, I have not used tuna fish, but I think I'll go back to that.
Okay, the shear was kedai, yep. Right, even for this alone, right? The fact, again, Rav Schechter, in that article, basically writes, you should look at it, it's Sefer Ginas Egel, page Samach and following, he writes, even if you want to tell me it's kedai to be machmir, but he has like a little piece at the end of this Shtikl Torah that chumras are not always good, right? It's a footnote number 9 on page 67, right? He says, maybe a footnote is not good. I remember when I was in high school, Yeshiva Farakwe, Rabbi Aaron Brafman, Zichrono Livracha. Again, if he'd still be alive, he might deny that I gave this Musar Shmuz, but I remember him giving a Musar Shmuz about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us based on what we do. Sometimes you have a person who tries to do lots of chumras, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, hey, dude, you're not being consistent. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe wouldn't punish me for certain infractions, but when I try to be so machmir in other stuff, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, hey, listen, you have all those infractions, I'm going to be ma'ayaning you tfei. Right? The Gemara in Bava Kama has a line, usavivav nisara ma'oid. No? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu usaviva, those who surround the Rabbanu Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's medakdek bahem kuchot hasayra. If a person tries to be frumer than his or her station in life, so that is not a good thing. Okay, so that is if hey. Question. Any other questions, comments, observations?
Questions.
Yes.
Two general questions. One following up on something Dr. Fine asked earlier. My understanding, these are sort of general questions, is that the whole concept of batal b'shishim is simply a shorthand for no Saint Tom when you can't test it directly by tasting. So if it indeed gives a flavor, then that ends that.
So here's the thing, you know, at the beginning of Siman Tzadi Ches, the Rama tells us that although Medina de Gemara, we rely on a kvela, you rely on a baker, a professional to taste the food and to tell you whether there's tam or not, Bizman Hazeh, we don't rely on a kvela. And it's not exactly clear why the Rama says that, but the Lavush has a line where he says that just like the Gemara tells us that after Churban Habayis, so Orva Kol Simcha, people are not happy. So after Churban Habayis also, we lost our ability to discern flavors. Things don't taste as good. The taste is not as recognizable. So the Lavush's understanding of that Ramah is that you can't say that because you don't taste it, it's mutter. We can't say that at all anymore, because it could be that it's still going to be usur. We lost our ability to really taste. Now, the issue with the scotch, and this is what I was talking about with Dr. Fine beforehand, the issue with the scotch is that, you know, different experts say different things. No one really knows if the sherry contributes any flavor to the scotch. You'll have half of the people who say Shvua de Hachika Amarav, the other half say Shvua de Hachika Amarav. Nobody really knows whether it contributes flavor. The whole issue is very murpal. It's very complicated. Yeah, you had a second question, Mr. Alter?
I did. Again, I'm not familiar with the sugya, so maybe I'm just inventing a concept that is ridiculous in the face of the sugya, but This business of batal b'sheish, is it perhaps talking about the question of you have to dilute wine with water? There comes a point where you dilute it and it loses its Borei Guffin status and becomes Shahakol status. Is that really what batal b'sheish as opposed to batal b'shishim is all about? And therefore it has nothing to do with issues of kashrus?
Yes, so batal b'sheish in the Gemara comes from there in terms of whether you make a Borei Priya Guffin. The assumption that all the poskim are making is that the dinim of Birchas HaNehenin equal the dinim of Isser V'Hetra in these cases. So if it loses the Shem Yayin, so there won't be an Isser as well. That's the assumption all these poskim make. The Gemara in Baba Basra speaks about how much you can dilute wine, etc., to still retain the status of wine. That's what we mentioned at the beginning, that the Kedem Wine Company used to publish ads, like in the Jewish Action magazine and elsewhere, about if you have this type of Kedem wine, you could dilute it this amount, because all of the wine is already diluted, right? Sav eich mahol b'mayim, as the Navi says, right? It's already diluted with water. How much more water can you add and still have it retain the status of wine? But that's true both l'inyin brachos and l'inyin stam yenam, etc. I think it's true by both. Did you have a third question or?
Negative. Go ahead.
Negative. Okay. Yoni, you have a comment? No. Okay, excellent. So I want to move on to Se'if Vav. Se'if Vav is based on the Taisos and Daf Lamed Beis. Taisos and Daf Lamed Beis, when the Gemara says that the vinegar, you have to make sure that there's no wine into it. So zach taisvis, tzarech li zoher b'sheicher dvash, that's called mead. You have to check out if they put shimrei yayin, because some places do that. And this makes it to Shulchan Aruch that any liquid has to be investigated. Do they add wine to that liquid? And that's what the Shulchan Aruch and Se'if Vav says. whether they add Shimrei Yayin. If they add Shimrei Yayin, it's going to be Usur, unless you have Shishim. Again, the Ramola Shitaso, that Stam Yainam is Batul B'Shishim. And then the Rama adds a caveat, which is what we spoke about briefly beforehand, providing it's not Avida L'Taima. Now, the question that's asked over here is, why are they adding the shmarim to the yayin? Why are they adding the shmarim, excuse me, to the mashke of dvash? They're selling a liquid. Why would they add sediment of wine? Presumably, the wine sediment is doing something. And what it's doing is, it is making the mashke shel dvash ferment quicker. It speeds up the process. It's almost like a catalyst in the fermentation process. So that's why they add the shmarim of yayin. So the acharonim, and you could see this kasha already in the dark emotion or space, they're all bothered by the kasha. I don't understand. If the Rama tells me that something that's Avido l'taima, something that contributes flavor, is not bottle. So the shmarim in the mashka of dvash also contribute something. It might contribute flavor. It might contribute something that's a little bit less than flavor, but from a halachic perspective, maybe it's more significant, which is that it's maimed. Maimed is a principle that we have with respect to cheese, that in order to make cheese, you need to have the milk coagulate by putting it in the cow's stomach that contains rennet. That's how you make cheese. So there's a din of davar ha-maimed that's not going to be bottled. That if you have treif cows that you're pouring the milk into the stomach cavity to make it into cheese, so then it's going to be osir. Maimed is not bottle. Here also, l'cha'ira, it's maimed, because the only thing that makes this beverage alcoholic are the shmarim of the yayin. So therefore, it should be a maimed. It should not be bottle. So the achrayim are bothered by this kasha. And they all say that, you know what? This is not really called maimed. This is not called maimed because maimed is only shuva. If you look in the Pesachei Tshuva, Os Hey, he writes, even though davar ha-maimed asers b'kosher hu, nonetheless, it's only called a davar ha-maimed if it's recognizable. Right? Cheese looks different than milk, has a different texture, etc. But over here, it's not recognizable. You don't notice the difference in the mashke between whether you added the shmarm of yayin or not. It doesn't change the image. It doesn't change the way the mashke looks. So that's why it's not called the davar ha-maimed. Now, this itself is very difficult because the pashtus, to be a davar ha-maimed, you don't have to only change the way it looks. The din of davar ha-maimed might be anything that's necessary to create an item. Any enzyme. Rav Shechter is a famous piece, again, in the sense that famous means stuff that I know. So Rav Shechter is a piece in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon about the status of enzymes. Enzymes could be a maimed. It's a maimed in the sense of it creates the chemical reaction. Even if the final product isn't noticeably different, it just speeds up the process, that itself might be a maimed. This argument in the Pesachei Tshuva Oshei, that it's only a maimed if it changes the final look, so that's not the pashtus. Rather, the pashtus is, the reason why there's no issue of maimed over here, is because maimed is a din when you have only one item. If you have a davar iser that changes something, then there's maimed. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in a number of places discusses a principle called zeb zegorim. Zeves Agore means if you have two independent causes of the final product, and they could each do it on their own, but because they have them together, it goes faster. So Zeves Agore is mutter. So the Chalkas Binyamin maintains that the reason why there's no din of Maimid in these cases is because it's a Zeves Agorim. And the Chalkas Binyamin points out that this is the Lashon of Taisus. The Lashon of Taisus and Daflam and Beis is that they are Mato Bo Shimre Yayin Laha'amid Maher. It makes it go faster. It doesn't accomplish the actual Ha'amada. It makes it go faster. It makes it go faster in the sense of it's a Zeves Agorim. It could happen without it. So that's what the Chalkas Binyamin writes. My only comment on this halacha is that how come the Achronim are only bothered by the din of Maimed? Maybe the Shimrei Yayin are actually no Sein Tam. What do the Shimrei Yayin do? I think what they do is they take this Yin Tapuchim or the like, and they make it ferment. That means they add alcohol content to it. That's called Lahachmitzel. To add alcohol content to something, apple cider, right, is considered different halakhically than apple juice because it's a different time. Once you add alcohol content to something, it has a different time, and that itself should be a reason to say that it is usher. That's called nice and time. If you look in the dark emotion or space, his expression is that anything which is lahachmitzo or lahat imo is considered avid l'taimo. So I don't know why the Achronim over here are only speaking about whether it's a maimid. Even if it's not a maimid, it should be forbidden because it is avida l'taima. I don't fully understand the issue that's addressed. Questions, comments, observations? Okay. So, Chavra, we should... Yeah.
Pass.
Gaya, thank you for coming. We should have a good day. And Be'ezras Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. Okay.
Thank you. Have a good day.